the NBA world.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Christmas holiday edition of Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Brennan Tassif. Happy holidays to you all. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah to all those who celebrate. Joined, as always, by my very good friend, RSVP'd already. What's up? Here I am. And co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man? I was about to say, is this your second Hanukkah? This is going to be your second Hanukkah?
Yeah, this will be my second Hanukkah. Tracy's second Christmas. Tree is up. Menorah's nowhere to be seen, so who's winning that battle?
You know who's in office now. You know, it's coming back. You know, we're saving Christmas all over again.
Yeah. Make Christmas great again. But we have a menorah ornament on the tree, so I guess that counts.
Okay, that counts.
You know,
a little representation.
You know how it is. So for any of those listening for the first time, which why would you on the holiday weekend? But if you are, we're going to
escape and, you know, not everybody's pumping out content this week. So
that is true. I noticed that like a bunch of the podcasts I like, they're like, oh, we're taking next week off. I was scrambling to get a guest to come out for Patreon on Friday. Like, what is happening?
I was saying, Levitard is taking last Friday was their last episode for the year. They're not coming back until next year. Yeah.
I don't understand it. See, that's the thing. It's like you work so hard to get a name, and then
it gives you some time. Like for me, at least, like it gives me time to catch up on some old things, some things that I probably haven't been listening to, discover some new things.
Well, and you fell behind because of the new low. You were like, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to listen to every episode of the year.
I did.
Did you get the best of reel?
I did. It's going to be an hour long episode that comes out on, I believe, New Year's Day.
And it's just all best ofs.
It's just all best of. Yeah.
So everyone else got to take the week off, but you were like.
Well, we recorded. I was going to say, funny enough, we recorded three episodes on our last record. So we recorded that week. We recorded some of the Old Boy Awards for this week. It comes out later this week. And then we recorded the intro for that hour long best of that'll come out New Year's week.
So, quick question, and we'll get to the show. Don't worry, everybody.
But right now.
quick question: do you guys still drink on that program?
Yeah.
So, how wasted is everybody by the third hour?
Yeah, that was a sloppy recording.
We got to get a new low on next drinking buddy. Talk about some of the recordings.
All on Twitch. So
that's true. You guys do it live. Do it live. For those of you who are new to the program, we're going to talk about some of the biggest topics and some of the biggest sports. This week, we will do NFL, NBA. We might touch on college football, but probably not because that was a dud. We'll talk about the quick hits where we will tag NHL and then the Fulham Corner, everyone's favorite now that who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down is out of here. Yep. And then no walk-off this week. We're going to get to the press conference where we'll peddle our wares. But we're going to start this week the same way we do every week. Joe!
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
All right. We are recording a little different time. Joe, do you have the time?
Yes, I do. It's a little early. You got it right there? I still think it's time for Game of the Week!
Game of the Week! Time for Game of the Week. We are talking Game of the Week. This might have been Game of the Year, depending on who you root for. Seattle, Minnesota.
The opening kickoff.
Yeah, that's
perfect
right.
Way to kick off.
Sorry.
Tell them.
I accidentally hit the button again.
Who is that? That's
Al Michaels. I think is most of it, yeah.
Tell him, Al Michaels. Seattle, Minnesota. This was in Seattle. So a couple of things. Minnesota wins this game. But this is the weird thing. We've been talking about this all year. Do we take Minnesota seriously? There's this whole thing because they have this receiving core that's elite. Sam Darnold, like we've said a million times, and I've argued for Sam Darnold, but Joe's kind of brought me back down to earth where he is stable enough to where if you have good players around him, he can perform to their level, but he's not going to Patrick Mahomes it. He's not going to like bring other people up. But they're, what are they now? 12-3? 13-2. Like, are we taking this team seriously as a contender? Joe, what are your thoughts?
It is interesting because right now, so I just decided to go look at their schedule, their full season schedule. And as far as teams who are in the postseason, that would be in the postseason right now, they have wins over three of them, three of their 13 wins, and the rest is beating up on bad teams, two of their losses against two postseason teams, the Rams and the Lions. The three wins, are against the Packers, the Texans. They mopped up the Texans. Give them that. I don't know how for real the Texans are anymore, by the way. They might just be now benefiting from a bad division. And the Falcons, who just found their way back to being a winning team and going to be currently sitting right now in the postseason.
Yeah, and they doubled up the Falcons.
They doubled them. The Falcons. Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same thing with the Texans. It was 34-7. Like, they mopped them.
Yeah, but I mean, those are two like fringe good teams, if we're being honest. Like, the Texans have dealt with injury to the receiving position, unlike anyone's ever seen before. Diggs out, Nico Collins had been out. I don't think he was out for that game, but they played them at full strength though. So let me not even try to give them excuses there.
The Lions, everybody was there. They lost the Lions by 3 points when the Lions still had their defense.
Yeah. I'm trying to think when Aiden went out.
I mean, Aiden might have been out at this point, but they didn't have, what did we say last time?
Yeah, it's 13 not 13. Yeah. So, yeah. I think Minnesota should be taken a little more seriously. I've been hesitant to do so because I've seen them do this in years past with a different quarterback, Kirk Cousins. And I think... this defense is better under the second year under Brian Flores. They got in some really good pieces like Cam Bynum. Did they also have Byron Murphy?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's confusing. I know they brought Van Ginkle in, and I can't tell you who one of their D tackles are. Let me go look and see.
I was just doing some math real quick. They've won 7 of the games that they've won have been by one score. So we can't argue this because this is what happened with the Minnesota Vikings that year. Kirk Cousins went like 13-4, whatever it was. They won a bunch of one score games. And then the next year they lost a lot of those games. So we do see a similar trend where they are winning one score games. 7 of their wins have been by one score or less.
Like that Packer game was a 2-point win. And I want to say there was like either a missed field goal or a blocked field goal at the end.
Yeah. At the end. I mean, the Seahawks win is by 3 points. You know, we can go on and on and on about this.
Yeah.
But
so like, I think they should be taken more seriously than not. But I think my measure for like the teams I really take seriously is who, as a fan of a team in the NFC, a team at the top of the table, who do I not want to see? And I have no problem seeing the Vikings, even though Brian Flores' blitz package does tend to give Jalen Hurts some issues. I think with Saquon, that kind of nullifies some of that. And so... And then I think our defense would just stymie Sam Darnold. I think getting to Sam Darnold wouldn't be an issue because, remember, they lost, is it Tristan Darrishaw?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm saying the left tackle's name wrong. But he went down in the Rams. I know Darrishaw is right, but I can't remember his first name. He went down in the game against the Rams. Then you guys traded your left tackle that you didn't even like over.
Nope.
So I feel like we wouldn't have an issue with that. Like I said, last week, I believe the only teams
Christian
Darrisaw, thank you. The teams I'm really concerned with in the NFC are the Lions, the Bucks, because I don't know the last time we beat the Bucks, honestly. And then probably the Rams, even though we beat them very convincingly when we played them, but they have the ability to have explosives. And our number one thing on defense, other than this week, was the ability to limit explosives. We did it so well against Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, and somehow Alamine Zaccheaus and fucking Terry McLaurin and
got me into my fantasy James football Crowder. Finals, Terry McLaurin. Keenan Allen and Terry McLaurin back from the dead, baby. Let's go.
Hilarious.
But in all honesty, as an Eagles fan, I do want to ask you this because I understand what you're saying about the pass rush and the beat up offensive line for the Vikings. Do you think Mitchell and DeJean could hang with Addison and Jefferson?
Yeah, I do. Okay. First of all, DeJean is a slot guy, so he wouldn't be paired up with Addison one-on-one unless one of them go into the slot. It'd be Slay and Mitchell. And
I don't have any question about
it. With a little bit padded protection. Like, Slay has had no issue with Justin Jefferson in years past. This was a team that we've beat up on pretty routinely. We didn't play them this year, but the previous two seasons we played them, I want to say, either one on a Monday night, one on a Thursday night, and we pretty much handled them back when Kirk was their quarterback. So that doesn't give me any pause. So
okay, that was my biggest thing is because, like I said, the reason I didn't mention Slay is because I'm not worried about Slay. And as far as – because he's a great press corner for sure.
He can only get off the field and not cause a 12-man penalty. I'll get to that shortly.
But the thing I was worried about was these young rookie corners going against, you know, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL if they get lined up on him. And then, you know, someone who's been a key number two to this team. And that's just like a lot to carry for guys that are brand new into the league. But they haven't been playing like that. Like, they're 1-2 or 2-3 for defensive players of the rookies of the year. So,
yeah.
All right. Who do you have winning the NFC West? This shit show of a division.
Yeah. I think the Rams have put themselves ahead of the Seahawks. I know Geno's dealing with an injury. I just don't think they have the horses at this point.
So let's
Matt
break
Cass
it down
is
real
really
quick.
Good. And
what? That's your Metcalf's insider opinion. No, Metcalf's saying, really good.
Metcalf's, I was getting to some other things. I'm Metcalf's sorry. Really good, but I think Tyler Lockett, they still consider him there too. And I don't think he's at this age, at this point in his career, I don't think he's better than Smith and Jigba. And I think he needs to be elevated to have a bigger role on this team. And they, for some reason, can't get the run game going on a consistent basis because Kenneth Walker has been in and out of the lineup. And then you have Charbonnet in there. And then, Kenneth Walker, I'm back. So the inconsistencies coming from the running back position, I think, has really been holding them back as well. And this all stems from their inability to put together five guys across the line on a consistent basis. Going into the last two seasons, I want to say they've suffered major injury at the line. And then in the middle of this season, their starting center retired. He just stepped away from the game. So they had to move one of their guards now to center. I just don't think it's in the cards for them this season. And that is my expert opinion.
It is interesting because they have drafted incredibly well on the offensive line, but the guys that they're drafting keep getting hurt for the last, this will be the third year that this has happened. The Seahawks, they are getting these good players that when, and everyone, the general consensus is like, well, if they can stay healthy on the line, they have a great offensive line, but then they can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. For those of you listening who might not be in the know, the Cardinals out of the playoffs, San Francisco 49ers, season from hell, eliminated from the playoffs. The Rams, who at the beginning of the season looked like they were falling apart and it was over, have now rallied and are currently fighting to win the NFC West with the Seahawks, which is why we bring it up, because this division is one of two divisions maybe where at the beginning of the year you're like, this is the team that's going to win. It's going to be the, like, we, you know, a lot of people thought it's the 49ers. No way it's not the 49ers. And now they're not even making the playoffs. The Cardinals were playing well. And I even said last week or the week before, I was like, yeah, you know, I want to say if they're healthy, they're good, but they're healthy and they're not good. I don't know what's going on. They're completely eliminated. So now it's up to the Seahawks and the Rams to give us some sort of playoff team out of this division.
I know a lot of people, looked at Cliff Kingsbury as maybe the person who falls off in the second half of the year. Maybe it was Kyler all along.
Maybe it was.
Kyler's been playing pretty pretty poorly lately.
Yeah. And it looks like, because Kyler, when he's out of the pocket, is fantastic. But could it be Occam's razor? Could it be like the obvious thing is actually the thing that's impeding him? He's 5'10".
Yeah, he's
and everyone
guy.
Said he can't he's play quarterback at 5'10". You can't see over the offensive line. And everyone's like, no, he's too athletic. Like, that's not going to deter him. Look at Russell Wilson, blah, blah, blah. Everyone might have been, I mean, it might have been right. The simplest answer might have been the right answer. He doesn't look like he can play in the pocket at all.
Yeah, I think it's he can't play in the pocket. He's too small. But he does have an insane amount of athleticism.
Yeah.
And he has for his stature, he has a chooch for an arm. Yeah. I just think I can't put my finger on what the issue is, but I feel like he gets found out. Like, people figure out his tendencies as the season goes on. And it's not more that the offense is breaking down. It's more people are figuring him out. Where does he want to roll out? Where does he want to leak coverage? Which way is he going to throw it and everything like that? And I feel like once he doesn't have a counterpunch for that, like,
yeah,
his running has gone down over the season, I want to say. At least it's not factual. What's that word?
Eye test?
Not eye test. Anecdotally. Like, I remember seeing him at the beginning of the season. I was like, oh, man, he's moving out of the pocket. Like, because he came off the ACL a couple years ago. So I'm like, okay, he's moving out of the pocket. He's looking. But now when he's getting fleshed out of the pocket, he's not gaining that many yards. He'll have, like, maybe a good run or two at this point of the season, but it's not like early in the season where he was breaking off for like 60 yards in a game, 70 yards in a game.
Yeah, and they're doing the spy thing with the linebackers, and they're playing wide nine, so when he rolls out, there's a defensive end like sitting there waiting for him. And yeah, like you said, it might not have been Cliff. It might have been Kyler this whole time. So I don't know. I think I agree with you, though. I think the Rams are going to take the NFC West, and we'll see. That's a team where you just let them in the door, and they got a shot, man. They've got two excellent possession wide receivers for sure. Matthew Stafford is playing out of his mind most weeks at 36, 37 years old.
He's really not, but okay. We can just keep saying that. Sorry.
He's playing really well.
Have you seen the last two games he played?
Hang on, I'm pulling it up now.
They scored 12 in the game against San Francisco, and they scored 19 yesterday.
Yeah, but that's not indicative of the
go look at his quarterback stats. Play. Go look at his yards.
Look at Josh Allen. They just won a game, and he got me 10 fantasy points.
Yeah, he looked trash in that game. Drake May looked like he outclassed him. Drake May had some
dots.
I know,
it was so bad. hang on, I'm pulling
the game
it up
against
now.
The Jets. A poor Jets team. A poor Jets defense.
14-19. That's fantastic. 73% completions. Touchdown. Come on.
How many yards?
Don't worry about the yard.
Think like 145 or something.
Yeah, so this is kind of what threw everybody off. Against Philly, he had 243 yards and two touchdowns, no picks. And everyone's like, man, this guy against they still lost, but everyone's
he's
like, this guy against this defense.
He's had some good games, but then those
and
next
then Buffalo
couple games,
was the shootout where it was 44-42, yeah. 320 for two touchdowns. Yeah, and then the last 2 weeks, it's 160 and 110. So, yeah. All right, my sample size was taken.
110
from the
two games. Is crazy. I didn't even know
that's
that nuts. Bad.
For Matthew Stafford, a Hall of Fame quarterback, that's nuts.
It's crazy.
All right, we got to move on. We spent 20 minutes on this game.
All right.
We did talk about a lot of other things, though, so that leads us into Oakland-Jacksonville. I love how we still put Oakland. I always do that, too.
Oh, damn it.
Las Vegas, Jacksonville. This was in Vegas at the Dome. I don't have much to say other than Brian Thomas Jr. should not have been the fourth wide receiver taken off the board. There's all these stats flying around. Like, only Randy Moss in his rookie season has, like, gotten more touchdowns. And, like, only he's on track to beat Odell Beckham Jr.'s, like, fantastic rookie season and all this kind of stuff. He's great. Mac Jones is playing like he's having fun, which I enjoy seeing.
The crazier part about that stat is, sorry, I want to say Odell missed like first two four or three games. I was going to say four, but I was like, could it have been four?
Yeah, and then still put up all those numbers. So
that's crazy.
You can always, like we always say, like numbers don't lie, but like if you really take into account he missed four games and put up those stats, that was way crazier. But same time, Brian doesn't have a, you know, he's got Mac Jones thrown to him. So it's,
I was about to say, what were you about to say? Eli Manning.
The number of times, and Trevor did this too, the number of times he's so open that the quarterback doesn't anticipate him being that open that they under or overthrow him because they're like, oh, he's not going to get that open. And he does. It's been, he's got like 8 touchdowns on the field just from being overthrown or underthrown. What I really want to talk about with this game is not really the play because there's so many injuries for Jacksonville and Las Vegas is kind of a dumpster fire. Aiden O'Connell played well. I wouldn't say he's like their future moving forward, but he played well. The reason I bring that up is because they won draft this game. Position. They have now dropped from 1 or 2 in the draft position to 7.
Dang. Where are you guys going now?
We're 4. Two? We're 3. Four? 3 or 4.
Dang.
So that's they have crazy. Now taken themselves completely out of the 2 quarterback race for the draft. Do you have any thoughts on this game at all? We've been crazy at work, so I didn't really get to. I've just been watching highlights and listening to podcasts.
Brian Thomas Jr. Sorry, TJ.
BTJ,
same
baby.
Same name was Odell. That's why I called him ODB. Even though
you know me,
not the same thing. But no, he's a beast. Mac Jones. It's annoying. He shows flashes every once in a while. And then it's like, but that's Mac Jones. Then like by the end of the game, it's like, oh yeah, but he's Mac Jones.
Yeah. Always throws a backbreaking pick. Did it again.
I think more or less the question is management, is the brass going to make the necessary moves? Are they going to force the hands? Because I think Doug is fine at the end of the day. I think Press Taylor is not the guy, and they need to give him like, hey, do you fire him or we just clean house? And I wonder what his decision will be.
That's the problem. I lied. Mac Jones threw 2 picks against the Jets. He didn't throw any this week. The problem is, and you know this, as someone who had both of them in Philadelphia, Doug Peterson is like, I don't know what's going on with that relationship. As far as like father, son, or like friend, or like what it is. But Doug Peterson is very much of the mindset, and he said this publicly, I'm not getting rid of Press. If you want to get rid of Press, then you're going to get rid of me, which to me is mind blowing. Because when he first took over the team, he took over play calling like halfway through the season, and like we played pretty well. And then he gave it back to Press, and that's when we were like 8-3. And then he did it last year too. Like we were 8-3, and then he gave the full control of the offense back to Press, and we missed the playoffs at 8-3. Like it's not, he's just not. I don't know.
Some guys
don't
know for the big boy roles, man.
Yeah, as they say in Burn Notice, sometimes the spotlight comes on, and you shrink up. And I think that's what's happening with Press Taylor. I think they need to clean house entirely. I like Doug as a coach. I like his aggressiveness. I like everything about him. I just don't like his choice in offensive coordinator, and he won't change it. So they both need to go. I have now changed my mind, though. I am no longer in the Ben Johnson camp. I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah, you're Brian Flores guy last week.
Brian Flores. Let's go. Culture. Change the culture.
In the words of Jared Allen, the lights were too bright.
There you go. All right, take it away, Joe.
Philadelphia Eagles lost to the Washington Commanders. This was an annoying loss. Me and Kyle commiserated on the Discord, saying more perturbed than anything, really. But I think it was a good loss. I will say that. I will. The same way I felt like the Lions taking that loss last week. You gotta cut your. Every once in a while, you gotta get punched in the mouth to remember how that blood tastes so you don't taste it ever again. There's a lot of mental lapses in this game. Like I alluded to earlier, there was a 12-man on the field situation that ended up in a touchdown because Slay, I think he was out for a play, came back on for a play, but he was the 12th man, so he's running off the field. But because everybody mentally was like, Slay's on the left side, no one covered the receiver on the left side, and it was just a broken play. And then the receiver had a steam, was able to momentum use the defenders' momentum against themselves because they just ran right past him over pursuing, and then he was able to get a touchdown. Like, that's a touchdown. If you're on your shit, you're not there'll be no situation where you have 12 men on the field in that situation and one of them is your corner who then opens up a free play. Like, that's a random one. There was another play where Quinyon Mitchell, like, his worst play of the season probably, and, like, literally it's probably his only bad play this season. I can't remember exactly what – I can't remember if there was a fake or he bit on a hitch and then Jaden threw it over the top and Quinyon is, like, 10 yards to the right of Terry McLaurin, who's fading to the left. And it's like, okay, that's something you got to clean up. I think he thought he had help over top. He bit on the underneath and then they got him going over the top. So that's something that can be cleaned up. Something that is just heart. Like, you can't let Jaden Daniels run on a 4th-and-5 and a 4th-and-11 pass you guys. Like, that is unacceptable. 4th-and-11, he ran for like 25 yards to get down to the 5. That's insane. Another unacceptable. Devontae Smith. Smitty, I love you. Skinny Batman, my guy. I don't even think I have to say anything. I believe it's kept him up at night already, but the game ends. None of this is spoken about. On a 3rd-and-4. Play up the middle, slant, easy little slant. He is wide, naked, open. Just let me tell you how this play unfolded for me. So I like to be very intimate with my Eagles games. So I have the red zone on the TV, but I have the Eagles game on my phone with my headphones on. And I'm just staring like my eyes are right there. I'm burning my eyes into the screen. And there was a... So the play is unfolding. He cuts through. I see him wide open. Pickett makes the throw. I get a random spam call at that very moment. So I immediately, in my head, two things go immediately. Like, oh my gosh, because I saw him open. I saw the pass. I'm like, okay, he obviously caught this ball. Game over. Bing, bang, bow. I hit the red button, the decline on the spam call. And then I see the rest of the play unfold and he drops the ball. And I'm like, this cannot be real life. This cannot be real life. One of the most short-handed people in the game just dropped an inexplicable catch that hit him in both hands. I would say there was another catch, a similar play. I was about to say, I think it's going to go under the radar, but it was more of a heady play by Bobby Wagner than anything. But Pickett threw a ball a little behind Saquon. Saquon had to turn around. He's falling back, catching it. And instead of – so he's catching it on his body on the ground. If Bobby Wagner just touches him, it's a catch first down that kind of – that will put the game out of reach as well. But instead, Bobby Wagner went straight for the ball and jarred the ball loose. And then you don't get that first down. I'm about to say Latavius Murray. Marshawn Lattimore also had a play like that where it was a little behind A.J. Brown. And then he hit the ball first instead of touching the body. The ball pops loose. It goes out of bounds. So you don't get that conversion. So it was a lot of good heady plays by their defense. I didn't love that Frankie Louvu hit on Jalen that got him out the game. But Jalen was a runner. So, I mean, he's allowed to do that. But Jalen was going down also. He kind of came in late for an extra little oomph.
Give him a little something.
Yeah, he put a little something extra on it. And that's what ended up being the play that took Jalen out. But I think.
Do we know what's going on with Jalen as far as he's playing next week? Or
I don't know if he's playing next week. I don't know if that's been determined or not. But, I mean, he's in protocol. But yeah, no, I think this team is still very good. If you've been listening to the show for the past 4 years, I don't care who the quarterback of the Commanders is. They always give us a fit for no reason other than their division rivals, and they will always give us fits.
Yeah. Even when they were bad, it still even, was sometimes.
So,
yeah.
I have up right here because I was like, there's a game just like this from the Super Bowl year. And there was, because I was like, there has to be. We were 8-0 going into I want to say a Monday night game. I'd have to go back and check the actual date. We lost 21-32 to Taylor Heinicke. Heinicke didn't even score a touchdown. It was all Brandon Robinson, Antonio Gibson, a bunch of field goals, and then a fumble touchdown at the end.
Brian Robinson.
Who did I say? Anthony?
Brandon.
Brandon? Yeah, Brian Robinson Jr. My bad. So, yeah, this is not the first time we've
Yeah, they ran it down your guys' throats that game. I remember.
Yeah, they did. They did. It was a Monday night game. They ran it for a buck.
Because I was shocked because that was the year where, like you said, they were 8-0, and everyone's like, here we go.
28.
God.
8 catches, 128. But, yeah, so I'm not shocked that it was a close game and that they ended up winning. But I am shocked because if Jalen Hurts doesn't get hurt, I think it's a blowout the other way.
Kenny Pickett looked good.
Kenny Pickett looked all right as a backup.
I'm saying as a
backup. He looked good as a backup.
Yeah, to come in there and be like, look, when he came in, I was like, oh, this is over. Like, they're going to boat race him. Yeah, he came in immediately through,
two catches to Antonio Brown and a touchdown. Yeah. It's like, boom, there we go. All right, everything's good.
Yeah, he hit AJ. You just said Antonio Brown.
I said Antonio Brown. Damn, AJ Brown.
He wanted, like, he
literally
came in.
I'm just saying old football players' names now. Jesus.
When he came in, I was like, oh, they're going to give it to Saquon. They're on, like, the 4-yard line. Yeah, you would think. He threw a dime to AJ, and I was like, okay.
So, yeah. But, like, in subsequent drives, there were a couple, like, third and shorts that is like, okay, we would usually run because we're thinking that we can get the fourth and one, fourth and two. I was about to say, in a big thing, the reason I really think we'd have won that game is they, once Jalen left, they packed the box to pretty much stop Saquon, right? Mm. There was so many opportunities. And Kenny Pickett, the thing that was frustrating me is Kenny Pickett is a really good athlete. We saw it on the play he eventually scrambled for on the third down right before the end of the half where he almost got the targeting penalty, but they didn't because it wasn't. But he can run. There were so many times where they're running the same motions and the same sets that they would for Jalen, and he, instead of pulling it back at least once or twice, gave it to Saquon to run into a wall of people where if he pulls it, the lane is right there because they're overcommitting. Like, he could have just broke contain. And I think that was the play Jalen got hurt on. And I think if Jalen stays in the game, there's way more opportunities for those.
Yeah.
And that opens up the field even more. So,
are you worried?
I'm not worried in the slightest. I'm not more worried than I was before. When this team is 100%, Jalen's a concussion. So even if you want to be like, we're not going to fall below two, keep him out for two games, I'm none the wiser. We're going to play the Giants and the fucking Cowboys. Cowboys, we could probably lose to because Cooper Rush has a good record as a starter. The Giants, there's zero chance with this defense we're losing to the Giants.
So, we're going to talk about the Cowboys later because that's stupid.
We are. We are. But just get me to the end. Get me to the postseason healthy. I wanted the number one seed for that reason. Because of this loss, we're not going to get the number one seed, unfortunately. Get me to the postseason healthy, and I have a chance. That's all I know.
All right, let's move it on. Go, Tommy!
I didn't hear no bell. One more round.
All right, first one more round. Atlanta, Giants. Michael Penix Jr.'s first start didn't look terrible. Had one pick, but that wasn't his fault. Kyle Pitts basically heave-hoed it.
That
to the
was
defender
crazy.
In the end zone. He just popped that it up. He volleyball spiked it up.
I literally said to my group chat, man, I forgot that was a pick. I was like, what was his one pick? But yeah, that was so crazy. Like, I literally said to the group chat, I was like, Kyle Pitts just probably made the worst play of his life, obviously.
Yeah.
He just careened. It was like he was cradling a baby and trying to pass the baby off. Like, he got the ball in the end zone and just said, here you go. Just threw it up to the defender. I was like, bro.
Yeah, it was nuts. And it was crazy because Atlanta wins this game 34-7. Drew Lock, I mean, his stat line doesn't look terrible. He is bad.
Bad.
Which is crazy because they took him in the Seattle trade to Denver. They just gave them Drew Lock, and they were like, oh, he's still young. Like, we're going to turn him into our starter. Like, some of the coaches.
Hey, he
hubris,
beat the Eagles last week. I'm not even going to. I mean, yeah, last year.
Some of the coaches' hubris is like insane, where they're like, we're going to turn this around. And then Geno Smith's like, nah, I got it, man. Don't even worry about it. The Giants look terrible.
They look inept.
Michael Penix Jr. looks like he kind of knows what he's doing for his first start. Like, you know, he looked good. He looks calm out there. He looks confident. Again, the pick, not his fault. It's insane to me that this team has all these weapons and Kyle Pitts is so bad. He was the fourth overall pick. He was supposed to change the game.
This was revolutionized the position.
Yeah, and he's terrible. And not just this year, every year.
I would say for the first 3 years, obviously. But I think for those first 3 years, and maybe it's boring out now, I think Bruce Arthur.
Arthur Smith? There you go.
Arthur Smith. Damn, boy, I am...
Yeah, he turned 30.
Did I get shout out former linebacker for the Bills?
Yes, you did.
That's Bruce Smith.
I don't know who Bruce Arthur is.
Oh man, I combined Bruce Smith and Arthur Bruce. I don't even know who I'm talking about.
Arthur Smith. Oh my god.
Merry Christmas, everybody. The way he utilized Arthur Smith utilized Kyle Pitts for those first three seasons may have just broke his confidence, and he's just I don't think he could be what he was coming out of Florida at this point. But no,
Bruce Arthur, columnist for the Toronto Sun.
Blue Sky is Toronto Star columnist,
nice guy, jump shooter. Blue Sky.
I think the biggest difference with Penix versus Kirk Cousins, who I don't know if you've seen, but they're probably going to release him save $10 million from his roster bonus going into next season.
His $100 million contract?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe $90 million.
Going to save $10 million. That's all they can do. He was hitting people in stride, and that hadn't been something I saw in a while. He hit Drake London in stride. He hit... Ray McLeod in stride. He had Mooney in stride. Like,
and the
he
mobility
was catching
in the
guys. Yeah, in extending play. Like we talked about, like I gave it props earlier, but it became a hindrance later in the season. But with Kurt's ability to stay in the pocket and make those throws while receiving a hit, I think it became documented. He had moved the least in the pocket than any quarterback in like 30, 40 years.
Yeah, those weird stats are always crazy to me where it's like he's not moved.
He's the most
pocket.
Flat-footed quarterback ever to exist, basically. But yeah, just that a little extension of the plays was helping people get open, and then that helped open the run game. Seeing the pass game in a rhythm, that opened up the run game immensely for Bijan Robinson. Bijan, I almost said Bijan Johnson.
I know what you almost did. I saw the panic on your face.
But yeah, no, Michael Penix, this was always my issue. I feel like this is a hot take. I feel like if he starts the whole season, he is what Jaden Daniels is. I don't think he would have had a sputtering start. The way that Caleb does, because again, I think the difference between Daniels and Penix versus Caleb is Daniels and Penix are like 23, 24. Like they're older free rookies. Yeah. Like they've been doing this for 5, 6 years. Like Bo Nix as well. Like,
I was just about to bring him up.
They've seen more football than not. It's not an Anthony Richards situation where the motherfuckers played 17 games of all organized football. Like these are guys who've played 40, 50, 60 nearly games of football.
Bo Nix has the most in NCAA history at like 63 games.
Yeah, I'm about to say it's like 60 something. So yeah, it's like they've seen more football than not. So my biggest Hail Mary. I was doing an homage to the Levitar show with that. But my biggest, I took a shot.
Your biggest take?
Is it the biggest take? I don't feel like it's a take. Prediction. My big prediction was.
Jeez, what is happening? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
My biggest.
I swear, Joe's not drunk. He came from the gym.
I'm not. I went to the gym. That might be. I haven't eaten a lot in the last like 16 hours, and I've been to the gym like twice. But my big prediction was that, because people were like, oh man, moving to Penix now, you might fall out. Like, you're close to the playoff, but you might fall out, blah, 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 blah. I said, because in my brother group chat, they were like, man, making that move now. I was like, you know what? This could be their version of Lamar for Flacco. Taking Flacco out, putting Lamar in, that saved John Harbaugh's coaching career. He was going to get fired that year if they didn't make the postseason. Lamar comes in late. They have to kind of corral the offense to, you know, put it around him, make it fix, and then they get into the postseason. The rest is history. Two MVPs, maybe a third. Who knows? Later. So,
well, and we also see this with Drake May in New England, where it's like, and this is Drake May is a totally different situation because he's a much younger quarterback, much more raw.
And then I
but it is one of those things where you have him on the bench for 5 or 6 weeks, and then when he goes in there, you go, oh, I think they got their guy. Like, I think they got it.
Yeah, they definitely got their guy.
Yeah, so it can change the outlook of careers entirely, especially for the coaches. Speaking of changing your outlook, your career entirely. Talking about my boy Baker Mayfield slinging ropes out here, even though they lost. Tampa Bay loses to Dallas. This was heartbreaking for me. I thought Baker was really coming on in the second half of the season. Again, had a very statistically pretty good game. Like, looked like he was going to win that game. And then just a back-breaking interception.
Wasn't in the interception. End zone. Oh, what was it? Oh, yeah. You know, that's
4 minutes left. He threw a pick in the end zone.
You're right. I thought you were talking about the final play that really ended the game. Because I think Dallas got a field goal with under the 2 minute warning, or I can't remember if they punted it.
Dallas gets the ball back, drives down the field, gets some points.
Okay. They got the field goal and they give it back. Down two. No. Wait, what am I fucking up here?
No, they were up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were always up. Okay, so it was an interception. You're right. It was an interception. Then Dallas punted.
That's
then
what it
the
was.
Bucks scored a touchdown.
Because it was 20. Yeah.
Yeah. Bucks scored a touchdown. Then Dallas punts again.
24-27.
I'm like, there's like a minute something left. Minute 58, 56. And I text my buddies in our group chat because, like I've said, they're all Bucks fans, a lot of them from Florida, Tampa area. And I'm like, all right, guys, it's the Baker legacy drive that puts him in Tampa Bay lore forever.
Welcome to the Bake Show.
Dog, he snaps the ball.
Bake sale is right there.
Seven people on him. I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's shaking them off. Guys, he's giving guys piggyback rides. I'm like, let's go, Baker. He gets it out of his hands somehow. Gets it over to Rashard White. And I'm like, how did he get that ball away? Unbelievable. What a guy. We're about to go on the most amazing, epic drive of the game. And wait, what happened? What? Why is Deron Bland running with the ball the other way? What? Fumble? Recover? What? The replay shows Rashard White running with the ball, stumbling out of all the chaos that he got the ball from, and then Deron Bland's going to tackle him and just Debo's the ball, just takes Strips the ball out. From his hands, and that's the game. And me and Baker have the same dumbfounded look, like, wait, what just happened?
I did all that for you to give up the ball.
I just survived a monsoon.
You could have just taken
a
sack and they would have been fine.
Yeah. Like, what? Like, dog.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. Tampa Bay still holds their destiny in their hands. The only problem is they lost both games to Atlanta.
I would say so. Atlanta holds their destiny.
But they have a better record than Atlanta. Or
they're
after that game,
now.
They do not. Now they're tied.
Now they're both 8-7.
So that's
seven.
What it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they need Atlanta to go down. Out. The problem is their last two games are not easy games, if I'm not mistaken.
No. Both of them have two easy games. That's the problem.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Atlanta has one tough game, one easy game. Atlanta has the Commanders and then the Panthers. The Bucks have the Panthers and then the Saints.
That's why, because I assume they're going to lose that Washington game, Atlanta. So if they do lose that Washington game and then Tampa wins out, I believe Tampa's in the playoffs.
Yes, that's how it shakes out.
But it was a tough loss, man. I'm a big Baker fan. Cooper Rush, fuck off.
Sleep on the Panthers.
I know. They've been playing out of their minds recently.
Bryce Young, comeback player of the year?
Yeah. Are we...
My brother... Let me know if you heard this or not. I was on the phone with my brother earlier today, and he said that there's a rule now because of Joe Flacco winning comeback player that you can't just come back from being bad.
No, it has to be an injury.
Okay, so Bryce can't win it.
No, it has to be.
Because I was going to say, like, Sam Darnold should be number one. He was like, no, there's actually a rule now. And I'm like,
yeah, it's like you have to miss a certain number of games the season before.
Okay. All right. Who stole it from Brandon Graham when he came back from his injury?
They
had 10 sacks. I feel like it was somebody sucked
the year before. DeMar Hamlin?
No, DeMar Hamlin didn't win.
The fact that he's actually
I was like, when he came back from death, he didn't win.
The fact that he's a good starting safety in the NFL blows my mind, only because he died.
Yeah. Flacco won it last year. That was DeMar's to win.
Yeah.
Because he didn't really start or play much last year. It was like
last year. This year,
him
he's
just
been
coming
playing
back.
Very
people
well.
Were like, oh.
Can he win it retroactively? So can they be like, well, you died two years ago?
Well, you died 2 years ago.
Now you're actually a good safety.
I mean, look, he missed a good bit of games last year. So, I mean, I think technically he could. But I feel like he would be like, I'm past that now. I don't want to keep,
I don't want to
harping
keep harping
on
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But all right.
Moving on to the NBA. Joe, where are we in this NBA season?
I think before we get to the NBA, right here is the space where we can say we told everyone 12 teams were way too much.
Yeah, that was a dud. We're talking NCAA, college football playoff. The teams who everyone thought were going to win for the most part won.
Yeah, all the higher seeds won. All the teams with home field advantage. Who would have thought a bunch of college kids with home field advantage would win those games? And so
Tennessee got boat raced.
Tennessee got hosed. I hate Ohio State, but I was like, somebody from the SEC needs to.
Miami would have played better against
Penn State. Yeah, you don't have those interceptions if Cam Ward is there.
SMU.
You might get one. You're not getting three. And two of them to like a defensive tackle. Ridiculous. SMU should have won that game. They were in position to win that game. They had like four of their five first possessions were all red zone trips that ended up in weird interceptions.
Yep.
But all right, where we are now. The Cavs are the number one team in the East. Boston is number two. The Knicks are number three. And your Orlando Magics are number four.
With Paolo and Franz out. Let's go.
Milwaukee Bucks, who have won 7 of their last 10, have climbed their way out of obscurity and potentially imploding the whole thing to number 5, and they actually won the NBA Cup, the NBA Emirates Cup last week. We both predicted it would be OKC. OKC did not win.
Yeah, I was way off.
The Bucks ended up.
They didn't just win that game. They won was it 12, 14 points, something like that?
Something like that, and they
Giannis Antetokounmpo dominated. I was like,
Giannis
he can't win it by himself, and he had a triple-double.
Giannis had a triple-double, but it was like they held OKC to like their worst shooting all year. Yeah. It was insane.
Which is crazy because you don't think Milwaukee Bucks defense.
Yeah. No, you do, actually. That's how they won the championship. Yeah.
That's how they won the championship when they had Drew Holiday, who was one of the best defensive guards in the NBA.
That's why you think of them being defensive, man.
I don't think Damian Lillard...
The theory was you put Damian Lillard in a team that plays a lot of good defense in other places. It can help him out. He doesn't have to rely on
his
defense.
That's true.
You got the Hawks at 7, Indy at 8, Chicago at 9, Pistons at 10.
Indy, good game last night against the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I heard Steph got held to 10. I didn't see that because I was watching the Nuggets game. That's
crazy. They kept trying to get him looks too, and he was just nothing was falling.
Man, wild. All right, in the West, we got OKC at number 1. We got the Houston Rockets at number 2. Who could have foreseen them
making the leap? A lot of Jimmy Butler talk for the Houston Rockets.
Who could have foreseen them making that leap? Last year, they were a team sitting at that 9-10 range. It was like, okay, they've greatly improved getting Ime in there. All those draft picks are starting to pan out. Jalen Green, Sengun, they brought in Fred VanVleet. And this year, they've all taken another step, and they're number two in the West right now. Memphis, Ja Morant is back. Hello, welcome back. Leave the guns at home. They are number three in the West. The Dallas Mavericks.
Leave the guns at home, but keep shooting.
Hey, keep the Dallas Mavericks are number four. The Nuggets are number five. Clippers are number six. Lakers are number seven. Golden State, eight. San Antonio Spurs, nine. And at 10, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves. And at 11, got to put it in there, we have the Phoenix Suns, who the Nuggets beat last night. The Phoenix, who I believe has the biggest payroll, by the way.
Yeah, the biggest disappointments are Phoenix and Minnesota, especially after last year. Who would have thought Cat was that important to that team?
Right? Crazy.
And also, just real quick on the there are rumors that Jimmy Butler is going to get traded to Houston. And yeah, I couldn't imagine if Ime Udoka, who called LeBron a bitch like last season, if he gets Jimmy Butler, like that's going to be wild. Just punching people in the face.
I mean, Ime wasn't on his team, but it wasn't on LeBron's team. So he was coaching.
No, I know,
LeBron.
But it's just like it's nuts that like when he was coaching against LeBron and LeBron was freaking out about a call, he's like, sit down, stop being a bitch. Because Jimmy has that same mindset, and that's the whole thing with Ime, was the reason he turned around the Boston Celtics, a lot of people thought, was that tough love. Like, they were terrible at the beginning of that season, and then he was like, no, I'm going to keep pushing the way I push, and then they ended up being outperforming everyone's expectation that year. That was, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, and that so was the year they lost to the Warriors in the finals.
Yeah, so it'd just be crazy to get Jimmy Butler, who is the king of, like, fucking strap up, let's go. Like, he is like the most football player on a basketball court I've ever seen from a mentality standpoint. Him and Russell Westbrook are like insane people.
Yeah, Russ.
And so it would be great to get him with Ime.
Not gonna lie, a lot of people would a lot of people like to, you know, shit on Russ and the moves he's made Russ. The last couple seasons. I think he's such a great fit for the Nuggets right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy, because everybody is kind of like not vocal. And he's the one I'll see every time they'll go to the bench. Like, Jokic has become more vocal. But Jokic and Russ are like, no, we need to do this. Like, they're telling everybody what they need to do. And it's like, yeah, Russ has seen a lot of basketball. Everything. Yeah, I was about to say he's been in all the situations. So he's seen a lot of things.
He dragged the Wizards to the playoffs.
Yeah, him and Beal. Yeah. So, that's where we are right now. We got the Christmas games coming tomorrow. Those are going to be fun to watch. Nuggets, Phoenix, a rematch of last night's game. They close the night out. Lakers, Warriors, you're going to get one more LeBron, Steph Curry Christmas that we know of. I don't know if LeBron's coming back next year. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But yeah.
Even if he does, I don't think that'll be on the docket for Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be as marquee a game. But the Lakers are always going to be on Christmas. Don't get me wrong. The Lakers are Christmas. but yeah, we don't know what the matchup will be. So that is what's going on in the NBA.
Nope. One more round.
And you'll be surprised how quick.
Quick, name it hits.
Quick hit.
All right, we're talking quick hits. We're talking NHL. We're talking ice hockey, ladies and gentlemen. Real quick, I'm going to take us through the standings. Eastern Conference, the New Jersey Devils actually in the number one spot, then the Capitals, then Joe's Florida Ice Cats. My Tampa Bay Lightning are down quite a few spots, but we haven't played as many games as a lot of these teams, so can't get as many points if you're not playing the games. Western Conference, the Winnipeg Jets.
We just beat you guys the other night, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Minnesota Wild. The Colorado Avalanche, powerhouse that they are in 1-2-6, the sixth spot. So, Joe, you got anything on your Ice Cats?
No, we're in really good form right now. We're top of the, I believe it's the Atlantic, or as we like to call it, the Catlantic. Just beat you guys, like I said, beat the Wild, beat Edmonton in recent games. That's a really good three-game stretch there. So 7-7 out of our last 10 are dubs. So really good form. Everybody's looking good. A couple injuries I know we've been dealing with, but for the most part, everything's been pretty solid. Wow, we beat you guys, then lost to you guys. I didn't see the second one. My bad. Okay.
Yeah, 4-0. All right. All take right. that.
All right. All right.
Yeah. And Kucherov taking down Tkachuk.
It's Tkachuk.
Right. Whatever. Leveled. That's what the highlight says. Kachuk returns to the game after getting leveled by Nikita Kucherov. It is so weird because everyone knows my affinity for the Lightning came from when I was playing NHL like 19. And most of those players are gone now, but Kucherov's still there. So love that. Love
or
that.
Or are they being stashed somewhere on a
okay, we don't have to talk plan. About what our winning there? Our what winning game there? Plans.
All right.
Time for everyone's favorite segment. We're talking Fulham Premier League Soccer. Joe, take it away.
All right. So Fulham currently sitting at number 9 on the table after a draw, which is unfortunate because I don't know if you guys remember me setting it up last week, but we were getting ready to play the last team in the EPL. We were playing Southampton, who just got promoted this season, who only have one win on the season, 13 losses. We could have gave them another one, but we drew. We drew with them. A lot of guys are coming back from suspension and or injury. Also, we suffered an injury, not in this game, but prior to this game, our starting right back, Kenny Tete, got hurt. But Bassey came back from suspension. Tom Kearney came back from suspension. We started a young kid who came through the academy. He got his first start, Josh King. We also brought on Martel Goto, his first appearance for the senior club. So didn't get what we wanted. Wanted 3 points, obviously. That would have put us in a lot better position. But we weren't able to get one goal. It was a 0-0 draw, which was very unfortunate. With a win, we would have been up to about the 5-6 spot. But now we have to face Chelsea on Boxing Day. Uptown rival. So that's on Thursday. If we could hopefully win or at least draw, get some points from them before the end of the year, that would be really good boost going into the next half of the season. So unfortunate result against Southampton, but you know, we soldier on.
Still top 10 of the table, baby.
Still top 10 of the table.
All right.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Joe, I just noticed when you lean back, your dreads are getting long.
They are.
Are you growing those out for the wedding?
They're going to be around for the wedding, yes.
You're going to keep growing them?
Yeah. Hair just grows. I can't stop it.
Yeah, but you can cut the bottoms off.
I can cut the trims. I could. But, you know, I leave that to
we're
going to
grow it.
I leave that to my dreadtician.
Dreadtician. Speaking of dreadtician, Joe, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. You can find this show's Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Kearing Press. Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Kearing Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the network. That's A New Low, The Big Show, starting last week. Well, actually, starting this week, the Old Boy Awards commence. And then next week, you have the year-end wrap-up clip show, which is going to be really good and fun. Previous episode, though, the episode that came out last week, was a fun thing. First time in 2 years, 5 people on the show at once. It was me, Greg, Scott, who are, I guess, technically now the big 3. Kyle came back because Kyle went away. Kyle came back to end the year with us. And somebody who came in relief a couple times, Hate Squiggle, a.k.a. James. All of us were on for one big final episode for the first time. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. So
yeah. Brandon's making a face because he feels a way that we didn't invite him. But we record late and you're at work.
No, so I at the stand. No, wasn't making that face at all.
I mean, you always think you started the show. You didn't start the show. Right? You did start the show.
I didn't start it, but it was my idea to do a podcast. Wasn't your idea. 2 weeks later, all of a sudden you guys had a podcast I wasn't invited to.
Wasn't your idea. He was the sober one. He thinks it's his idea. The idea was created in the drunken haze way after you got off.
When I brought it up.
When you got off. You got to remember, you would drive with us, and then you would get home to your then girlfriend, and then you would forget about us. And then we continued on to just be drinking and
all
married.
I'm saying is, if you're sitting with a group of people and someone goes, hey, it'd be a good idea if we did this, and then leaves, and then you guys are like, hey, it'd be a good idea if we did this, there was still the seed was planted by the first person.
I mean, whatever you say, you got your story, I got my story. Yeah,
you've got your story, I've got the truth, you know.
Also, whatever. Don't forget to check out Who Does a Podcast. We did The Lion King last, and our year-end wrap-up show, which is usually a doozy, is coming up next week. So that is all I have. Brennan.
Okay.
I also have Headphone Joe. Just Google Headphone Joe. No, in the phone.
At Brennan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. Check out my other podcast, Ex-Drinking Buddy. I have a guest on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. That's it.
All right.
All right,
get us out of here so we can go celebrate the holidays.
Absolutely. Happy holidays, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out, Ricky Henderson. R.I.P. And Tank Dell. Get better, dude. That was brutal.
Unfortunate.